Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Today's gospel lesson is about the sower and the seed. In it, Jesus describes four kinds of soil. Soil along the path, which is hard. The soil on rocky ground, which is shallow. The soil among thorns, which is choked. And the good soil. It was really tempting for me to come up here today and give a kind of simplistic interpretation of this and say, well, the soil is a person's heart. And we can't see into a person's heart. Only God can see the heart of man. So we sow the seed. And then God gives the increase. As it says in our Old Testament lesson from Isaiah 55, so shall be my word that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Just kind of throw it out there and let God do the work. Well, superficially, that sounds like a good idea, and if you're really a lazy theologian or a lazy Christian, it may sound good, but really, it's a cop-out. That's not what farmers do. Farmers don't just fling their seeds any place and then say, okay, God, you know, please make some of this grow. No, not at all. They prepare the fields. Anyone who's ever walked in a field upstate, or a field upstate, is familiar with the endless rows of stone fences that crisscross this whole area. Most of, not only New York State, but most of New England and much of America. As a kid, I used to wonder why anybody would put fences in these strange places. You go out in the woodlands, and there's a fence in the middle of the forest. They didn't just grow there, somebody put them there. Well, when these fences were built, these weren't forests. They weren't woodlands and wilderness areas. They were farms. Somebody dragged those stones out of the adjacent fields. You can go through some places in Canada where you'll see they drag the stones to the center and make big mounds of stones in the middle of the field. In any event, the fields were cleared to make them ready for plowing. And by making walls with the stones, it served a double purpose. It kept the grazing livestock from eating the grain. After much preparation, the plow was put to the field. Only then were the seeds sown. But that still wasn't the end of it. The fields were watered. They were fertilized. They were tended until the crop was ripe for harvest. Well, how does all this farm work relate to the Word of God? Well, with God's Word, the stumbling blocks are removed by teaching based upon sound doctrine, removing all false premises and false suppositions. Sound doctrine removes the stumbling blocks which prevent many people from maturing in the faith. Give instruction to a wise man and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. Proverbs 9. So the stones are handled by right teaching, making ready for the plow. The plow is none other than the law of God. The psalmist tells us, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. The word of God takes that hard heart and breaks it. The law lets us see ourselves as we really are, as sinners, deserving condemnation. The law convinces us of our shortcomings. The law convicts us of our sin. All have sinned and will face judgment. You and I each will stand before the very throne of God someday to give an answer. In Romans 3, it tells us, for by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. The law leaves us standing guilty and condemned. Whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. James 2. We remove the stones. We plow the soil. The water and the fertilizer is the gospel, which rescues us from the condemnation we deserve. After the law has prepared the way, showing us our need for a Savior, then and only then can the gospel give increase. 1 John 5 tells us, this is the testimony of God that he has borne concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. And this is the testimony, that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. So there we have it. Clear the rocks, plow the field, spread the seed, water and fertilizer, and then wait for God to do his thing, right? No, wrong again. Anybody who's ever planted a garden knows that no matter how rich the soil, no matter how finely it's been broken down, weeds will find their way into it. And in fact, good soil is an excellent place for weeds to grow. They grow phenomenally well. You need to continually tend the garden. Rocks work their way up from below. Weeds of every kind infiltrate and choke the crop. The garden needs constant attention. Yes, it may be that the gospel has taken root and Jesus lives in your heart even now. I pray it is so. What a wonderful thing that is. But will it be choked out by the affairs of this world? Will it be uprooted by trials and tribulation? Will it be merely set aside by apathy? We need to constantly be on our guard. Our adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. 1 Peter 5. We have many means available for us for the strengthening of our faith. Primarily, we have the Word and the sacraments. That's why most of us are here today. But we need to continually to study the Scriptures, to pray diligently, attend Bible studies where you will be reinforced with sound doctrine. And I would like to make a little aside here on the point of doctrine. Some people don't like the word doctrine. Well, doctrine is merely another word for truth. There are many denominations, but there is only one truth. Even when my limited wit fails to comprehend it, it remains truth. And Scripture warns us, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. 2 Timothy 4. Christ, the Son of God, hung on a cross for us, for you and me, to take away our sins, to bring to us the gift of eternal life. Let us not neglect the great salvation he has won for us, but rather, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews 12. In his letter to the Philippians, Paul exhorts us, only let us live up to what we have already attained. Let us live up to what we have already attained. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus the Lord. Amen.